You're now listening to the Deep Edge Podcast with your host, technology expert Ray Moda, giving you the rundown on telecom, cloud, and all things business and tech. This is the Deep Edge Podcast.
Let's go!
Hello, this is Ray Moda, and welcome to the Deep Edge Podcast. And in this podcast, we're actually going to have a subject matter expert where we're going to go much deeper into the segment routing from Cisco. It's Bertrand de Ubivier. Hopefully, I pronounced his name correctly. Hi, Bart. Welcome to the Deep Edge Podcast. How are things?
Good.
Now, Bart, where are you located?
I'm located in Brussels, Belgium.
And maybe before we get started, could you tell me a little bit about your role at Cisco?
Yes, I'm part of the product marketing team, but I'm a principal engineer into that team, helping the team to deploy innovation.
Good, good. No, this is great because one of the things we've been doing, Bart, I said it in the intro, is we've been having a variety of different discussions. We've had customers, we've had myself talking about different use cases. So I'm excited to go much deeper in the discussion with you. Now, maybe before we jump into the technical discussion, could you briefly outline what the key benefits of segment routing?
Yes. Segment routing, there are essentially three key benefits that are driving strong customer adoption, which are witnessing for a couple of years now. The first one, segment routing makes customer networks simpler by removing protocols such as LDP that was used to distribute label in MPLS environment, or RSVP that was the de facto protocol to do some traffic engineering. The second point is that segment routing brings an unprecedented level of scalability, enabling service provider to roll out traffic engineering capability across the network at mass scale. This is extremely important for 5G network, where the number of network slices required to support new advanced service it could quickly jump to 100 or 1,000 of slices. And lastly, segment routing is multi-domain directly from the server through the data center and to the transport infrastructure up to the end user. This is the very first time we have a network infrastructure to offer the end-to-end SLA that any application needs.
Yeah, no, this is great. I like the intro. Now, maybe we can go continue with the discussion, but I see that, and let me know if you see the same, as SRv6 is gaining a lot of momentum with many of the service providers. How would you position SRv6 regarding SRMPLS?
Yes, MPLS has been deployed in customer network for almost two decades as the leading tunnel technology to deliver overlay service on top of MPLS underlay with capabilities such as fast reroute, FRR. This is achieved through implementing, deploying, and managing several protocols like LDP, RSVPTE, and BGP overlay extension for layer 2 and layer 3 VPN. SRMPLS, or SR with MPLS data plane, brings unprecedented simplicity and enable intent-based optimization with a handful of policies. We could reduce by 10 times less compared to RSVP full mesh, and increasing the network resiliency with functionality like TI-LFA, microloop avoidance, etc. SRMPLS also allows seamless interworking with and migration from MPLS network. However, SRMPLS face some of the same challenge as MPLS in terms of scale. MPLS is limited to 1 million label max, lack of summarization, lack of inherent load balancing, thus requiring custom solution like entropy label or fat pseudowire, etc. SRv6, on the other hand, or SR with an IPv6 data plane, inherit all SRMPLS capability, simplification, resiliency, traffic engineering. Furthermore, it alleviates some of the limitation faced by SRMPLS by providing IP summarization and IPv6 header flow-based built-in entropy. Another interesting concept with SRV6 is network programming.
Yeah, no, this is good. Now, this is the Deep Edge podcast, right? So could you go deeper and explain how SRV6 network programming actually works?
Yes. Segment routing over IPv6 data plane, or SRV6, technology defines packet processing in the network as a program. This network program is expressed as a list of instructions that are represented as 128-bit segment, often called segment ID or SID. They have the form of an IPv6 address. Each IPv6 SID can be broken down into a locator part and a function part. The location part, the most significant bit of the instruction, act as a routing prefix, which is advertised in ISIS or SPF or BGP by an SRV6 capable parent node owning the instruction. The function part, the least unification bit of the instruction, act as a local function instruction. Select the VRF exit interface Y, which it's advertised in Yang BGP PSEP by an SRV6 capable parent node or SDN controller owning the instruction. The first instruction of a network program is placed in the destination address of the packet. If the network program requires more than one instruction, the remaining list of instruction is placed in the segment routing extension header called SRH. For example, an SRV6 program with three instructions will have the first instruction placed in the destination address of the packet. The remaining two instructions are placed in the SRH. The network program can likely be expressed with one single instruction. In this case, the first and only instruction will be the destination address, and there won't be any SRH. An SRV6 instruction can represent any topology or service-based instruction. For example, the instructions related to traffic engineering and fast reroute are examples of SRV6 instructions that are defined at the ITF. SRV6 network programming allows an end-to-end solution all the way from the server through the network to client, and make it a perfect solution for 5G ultra-scale network. This is also made possible due to the use of the native IPv6 data plane. Network programming. In addition to remove all MPLS and IPRSVP, it allows to remove all other protocols like VXLAN for overlay technology and NSH for NFV function. Some of these SRV6 instructions have been deployed for at least a year in live network, supporting commercial service across 8 large-scale deployments, across over 10,000 hardware routers supporting multiple 10,000 subscribers today.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, you did a good explanation of that piece. Now, a while ago, I remember when I was studying segment routing, one of the things that was missing was the whole discussions about use cases. Right now, what are some of the use cases supported with SRV6?
Yeah. An interesting one is the VPN with low delay 5G slides that leverage the flexible algorithm capability. Indeed, the flexible algorithm, also known as FlexAlgo, enable the building of customized routing algorithm in ISIS or OSPF. In this use case, all nodes run two ISIS algorithms, best effort and low delay algorithms. The best effort algorithm is the default algorithm, also known as Algo Zero, that compute the shortest path using the IGP or interior gateway protocol metric. The low delay algorithm, also known as FlexAlgo 128, compute the shortest path using the measure link delay as a metric. SRV6 locator for FlexAlgo are allocated from a new distinguished address block, as an example, day:\40. Let's assume an egress-P gets allocate FlexAlgo locator D3:\64, which is being advertised in ISIS under the FlexAlgo 128. Low delay VPN seed D3:\3:V9 is advertised using BGP. At the ingress PE on the other side of the network, customer packet with low delay SLA are encapsulated in an outer IPv6 header with a destination address equal to the customer low delay VPN seed. Remember, that was the D:\3:\V9. Packets are routed to the egress PE using the low delay path computed by FlexAlgo 128. Egress PE decapsulates the SRV6 encapsulation, does a lookup for the inner packet header into the corresponding customer virtual routing forwarding or VRF, and forwards the packet accordingly to the right outbound interface. This simple network program implies a VPN service over low delay 5G slice without using an SRH, just by using a single instruction. This service is deployed in live network today. It's not science fiction, it's deployed.
Yeah, that's good that it's not just slideware, right? It's actually real there. Yeah, that's excellent. That is real. Now, something that I see promising going on, you let me know if you feel the same, is there's a new draft of SRV6 micro-instructions that have been submitted to the IETF. Could you elaborate on this concept of micro-programming?
Yes, micro-programming has the same type of concept of microservice. A computer program is generally composed of several instructions which can be turned can call microprograms. Similarly, in SRV6, any network instruction in the destination address or in the HAS can carry a microprogram of up to 6 micro instructions. A macro instruction here is referred as a USID or macro seed. An SRV6 instruction that carries a microprogram is called a carrier instruction. Let's take an example. I got the seed BBB:BBB. This is my carrier instruction. UCID1, UCID2, UCID3, UCID4, UCID5, UCID6. Within the SR domain, the operator allocates a /32 prefix BBB:BBB:\32. Any SRV6 instruction that starts with these 32 bits is then known to carry a macro program of up to 6 micro instructions. The /32 prefix can be allocated from a public or private range. In the case where the microinstruction will be less than 6 microseeds, any unused microinstruction for that carrier is set to the value 0, known as end of carrier. The most basic microinstruction is called UN. It defines the shortest path to a node, followed by the activation of a next microseed in the microprogram. So, without any change to the SRV6 data plane nor control plane, the SRV6 microinstruction allow to express any behavior like traffic engineering, fast reroute, VPN, with minimal overhead, 16 bit per microinstruction. This is very powerful to address ultra-scale, multi-domain 5G and web-scale data center deployment. Let's consider a network program with 18 microstructures, which is huge. This will require three carriers of six microstructures each. One carrier is placed in the IPv6 destination address, and two carriers are placed in the SRH. The SRH will be 40 bytes long. So with only 40 bytes of overhead, we can use up to 18 microinstructions. This is mathematically the best SRv6 or SR compression solution. This is also a noticeable improvement over multi-protocol label switching, MPLS, where ingress PE is typically limited to less than 10 push label. This simplicity and low overhead of SRv6 micro instruction allow for forwarding implementation at LAN rate across several hardware, including the multi-terabit packet per second hardware, both with custom and merchant silicon. Moreover, micro instructions are seamlessly deployed in IPv6 hosts. It simply requires IP and IP encapsulations, since the other IPv6 destination address is opaque to the host. A carrier of six microinstructions, it just seems as a 16-byte opaque destination address.
Yeah, no, that's a good explanation there. Now, I normally can't have a discussion these days without talking about 5G, right? Now, do you have any customer reference in mind that have started to make use of segment routing in their SR or in their 5G networks?
Yes, we do have quite a lot deploying this with SRMPLS, but here I'm thinking about SoftBank. SoftBank is one of them that starts with SRv6. It's a current mobile network and are deployed as a divided network with several layers and complicated control plane. I mean, if you do that with MPLS, it could be very, very complex, which makes it difficult to deliver SLA and scale to 5G. Deploying with SRv6, like SoftBank did, in a 5G mobile network, simplifying the network layer and integrate user plane function from end to end with only IPv6 protocol, making things simple, controllable, and flexible. SoftBank has rolled out a state-of-the-art segment routing IPv6 network worldwide to build a future network architecture that is extremely scalable with improving reliability, flexibility, and agility, and while helping to reduce their CapEx and OpEx. And that's just one example. Iliad in Europe, it's another great example of customer who has deployed a SRv6 with millions of subscribers.
Yeah, no, this is great because, you know, you've got some examples. But one of the things I get question, maybe you could tell me because you're more involved with the IETF, how is SRv6 standardization progressing at the IETF?
Yeah, SRv6 is processing extremely well from a standardization perspective in IETF, with the architecture document published as a standard track RFC already. But that's not the end of the journey. We do have over 8 public large-scale customer deployment, 25 hardware implementation that support SRv6 at line rate. These hardware implementation span across multiple silicon, custom silicon like Cisco and Huawei, and merchant silicon like Broadcom, Barefoot, Arcus, Intel, Marvell, and Mellanox. Not just about hardware. Last but not least, the open source community is also very active. The IETF is very active. Vendors are very active. But also open source community is largely backing up SRv6 with over open 11 open source platform and application. SRV6 is not only supported in the native Linux kernel or FDIO VPP, but also in P4, Wireshark, TCP dump, IP table, NFT table, Snort, ExaBGP, and Conti VPP. Then to answer to your question, yes, we do have already one RSC. We have many to come, but more important, it's a standardization is made by Deprimon. And as you can see, we got a lot of implementation from vendor, from merchant silicon over the open source community. And that is really what's driving the success for SRV6.
Yeah, no, this is good to see the progress being made. I think actually this is from the audience there. You're getting a round of applause for being able to go that deep into it. Now, maybe for our audiences, the last question is, where do people find more information on segment routing? Where do you recommend it?
If you want to learn more about segment routing, I suggest that you visit the website www.segment-routing.net or follow us on Twitter or LinkedIn. We do have two segment routing work group there, and it's easy to follow that from there, where we are maintaining a lot of information coming indeed from Cisco or IETF or the customer that we are working with, but also from different vendor and partners.
Good. Well, I appreciate you joining the Deep Edge podcast, and hopefully you join us again in the future.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Deep Edge Podcast. Make sure to follow Ray Moda on Twitter and LinkedIn at rmoda. If you enjoyed the podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. Want even more? Head over to acgcc.com to access exclusive bonus content. Till next time.